week in, week out, I just open up the Bible, tell you what it says, and let kind of the chips fall where they may. Today, I'm going to be more in your business a little bit than usual, because I believe our country is coming, is at stake. So everything I say, I believe, is grounded in the Word of Almighty God. But you, some of you aren't used to a pastor wading into some areas, and I'm just going to go there today. So you don't have to worry about the elephant being in the room. I will address the elephant. So to start off with, we're going to give the invitation at the beginning rather than at the end. So I need you to raise your hand. How many of you are registered to vote in the state of North Carolina? Raise your hand. God bless you. If you are not registered to vote in the state of North Carolina, this whole sermon am going to compel you that your civic responsibility is to vote. And in all of our lobbies, we have voter registration that you can fill out before you leave. Now, we don't want you to take it home, because a year and a half from now, if you take it home, you're going to find it in your fly leaf of your Bible. It's like, man, I was supposed to do something with that. So we'll have somebody in the lobby. And now they ask some really hard questions. Your name, your address, your date of birth, your driver's license number. If you can do that, then you can register to vote. You say, why should I register to vote? That's what I want to talk to you about for the next 2 hours. The word politics in Latin or in Greek means the governance of a country or a locality. So let me ask you some questions. I'm going to ask you five, and I want you to talk back to me. Question number one, is God involved in government and in politics? Daniel chapter 2, verse 21 says, God sets up kings and God removes kings. So God is involved in politics and in government. Second question. Right now, y'all got 100. Is Satan involved in government and in politics? Y'all are more sure about Satan's involvement than the Lord's involvement. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says he's the god of this world, and he blinds the mind of them who don't know God. So third question. Are demons involved in government and in politics? Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. You remember Daniel, when God sent the answer to prayer, he had to wrestle with the demon over the country. So demons are involved in government, and demons are involved in politics. So right now, in five questions, you got three of them right. Don't mess up now. Fourth question, should Christians be involved in government and politics? Yes. The answer is absolutely. And now think about it. If not, then the dishonest, the anti-God, the anti-Bible will be deciding how your children are educated. They will be governing, making the laws of this land. They will be the judges that will bring down that gavel, and you will be sentenced guilty for something that goes totally against this book. So should Christians be involved in politics and government? Absolutely they should be. You're doing great. Thank God for the American flag. You know it. I pledge allegiance to the flag, United States of America. To the republic for which it stands, one nation. What's the next two words? Man, what a brilliant audience I have today. I am really impressed. Here's what happens with government. It wants to move God out of the way, and it wants to become God. You look at the founding of our country. It was founded because they believed they were under God. God was supreme, God was sovereign, and His word was true and right. You look at the first laws that were passed, it was about teaching the Bible in our public schools. They knew they were under God. But every civilization, they have a tendency to move God out, and government wants to become God. So here's what's true. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, here's what's true. You are citizens of two countries. You are citizens of heaven, and you are citizens of the United States of America. Well, what's true of those two citizenships? Citizenship of heaven is eternal. Citizenship of earth and America is a temporary. No kingdom is going to last forever. Citizenship of heaven is a perfect citizenship. It's a perfect government. On earth, it's an imperfect government. Citizenship of heaven, there is no corruption whatsoever in heaven. There is corruption in every country and in every government in our world because it's run by sinners. So until Jesus is ruling and reigning on the throne, there will always be corrupt government. So how do we fix it? Until the Mayflower Compact, when the pilgrims came over, there never was a democratic republic. It was a foreign concept. You were ruled by anarchy. You were ruled by kings who told you what to do and what you couldn't do. But we in America have a government set up for the people, by the people. So you get the power to elect your government officials. Shame on the Christian who says, no, they're all crooked. I'm not going to vote. One of Tracy's favorite spot in Israel is Caesarea Philippi. It's up north. Jesus had his disciples. They were down in the Galilee. He took them a full day's journey up to Caesarea Philippi. It's where Peter made that statement, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus says, "Upon this rock I will build my..." He didn't use the word synagogue. He didn't use the word for temple. He said ecclesia. "Upon my rock I will build my ecclesia." It was a secular term. It was not a spiritual term because the church never was intended to be a building inside of walls. We are to be an ecclesia that invades every civilization in every realm, go into the highways and hedges and take Jesus. Here's what's happened with Christians and government. We've abandoned it. So that's why crooked lawyers are running our government, because Christians says, "Ooh, that's nasty. I don't want to get involved." It is nasty. I'll testify. It's nasty. It doesn't matter who's in charge. It's nasty. That's why we need Christians, which are salt and light, to go in and purify it. You say, "Where is this biblically?" I'm glad you asked. Jeremiah 29, look at verse 4. 586 B.C., Jerusalem was conquered by Babylon. Babylonians forcibly moved thousands of Israelites to Babylon in captivity. The Jewish people became exiles living in this new country. That was where they were living because they were told to. Babylon was ruled by Nebuchadnezzar, an arrogant, power-hungry, violent man. City was known for violence. City was known for oppression. Not the place you would write home to mommy and say, "Oh, this is wonderful here." Jeremiah chapter 29, writes those captives a letter and says, "This is what I want you to do for that country, for that government that you're living in." Notice verse 4. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives," this is, "whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon." What do you want us to do? Build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat the fruit of them, take wives, beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. Verse 7. seek the peace of the city. If you're writing your Bible, underline that phrase. Seek the peace of the city, whither I've caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof, you personally shall have peace. So build houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat the fruit of them, marry and have your sons and daughters marry. And the key verse is verse 7. You pray for peace, because when God gives the land peace, he will give your household peace. So in this world that we're living, how do we bring about peace in our country? By voting biblically and by Christians getting involved in government. So let me just be straight up. Some of you need to run for school board, because we need lights on that school board that testify of Jesus. Some of you need to run for county commissioner. Somebody needs to run for the House and take my place. Somebody needs to run for a Senate. Hey, because we need lights in the dark world that testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here I go. How do you know who to vote for? So I'm going to get into your business. You ready? Some people say, well, I just vote the party line. My grandpa was a Republican, and his daddy was a Republican, and his grandma was a Republican. All the way back to Abraham Lincoln, where they did away with slavery, they were all Republicans. So I vote Republicans. Listen very carefully. You're wrong. Do not vote party lines. I don't care if your party is Democrat. I don't care if your party is Republican. Been around them long enough to know they're both corrupt. So just because you have an R or a D after somebody's name does not mean that you should vote for them. So now that we're on a good understanding, how should we vote? Don't vote for who's going to benefit you. A lot of people say, well, this guy's going to give me the most money, so I'm voting for him. Don't vote for how it's going to benefit you. Don't vote for your personal preferences. Well, I've heard people say this. This is the cuter of the two people running. What a horrible way to choose a candidate. Horrible. Well, I don't like this person's personality. We don't vote on personality. We vote on principles. Who is closest to this book? So I don't care what the Democrats say, and I don't care what the Republicans say. I care what God says. So that's how we determine how we are going to vote according to Scripture. You say, well, you're getting political. Hold on a second. These are spiritual issues and moral issues before they ever become political issues. One of the problems in our day is churches have stopped speaking on these issues because, oh, I don't want to offend somebody. I worry about people not making it to the judgment seat of Christ. So I'm going to speak on it. And if you got a problem with me, you got a problem with me. Founding fathers, they determined that America would have a biblical foundation. George Washington said this. They're going to put it on the screen. It's impossible to rightly govern the world without God and without the Bible. Impossible. That means we need to elect godly people, or the best option of godly people, to rule and reign over us. You say, well, there's no godly, for this office, there's no godly choice. Unless Jesus is on the ballot, you're always choosing the lesser of the two evils. Because they're all sinners. So you have two sinners running for office. Which one closest best lines up with this book? John Jay, first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, 1816, said this. Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers. It is their duty as well as their privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians to be their rulers. Christians have a responsibility to vote. People have shed their blood so that you can go and pick your leaders. Here's the sad truth. 61% in the last presidential election, only 61% of evangelical, our kind of Christians, voted. That means 39% of our kind of Christians did not vote. Now, they're great at yelling at CNN. They're great at yelling at Fox News, yelling at the TV. But you know what? It doesn't do any good to yell at the TV. It does good to vote for Christians and put them in the office. If America is ever going to be called a Christian nation again, we must put Christians in the office. You say, where do you get off on saying that? It's Proverbs 29, verse 2. Righteous are in authority, people rejoice. When the wicked bears rule, the people mourn. He's all right. Here's the question. Forget party line. How will God have me to vote? When you go into the voting booth, and all of you are registered now, we've already taken care of that. When you go into the voting booth, how would God have you to vote? Let me give you five criteria you should do with, I don't care if it's the dog catcher or if it's the president, how you should evaluate who you vote for. Somebody said, I just cannot believe you're talking about elections. This is going to determine the future of your grandkids' America and if there is America. So if you got a problem with me talking about elections, the problem is you're not thinking about the future of our country. Number one, when you go to vote, vote for the family. God gave 10 commandments to arrange the lives of the Israelites. The fifth one, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says, honor your father and mother. First commandment with promise. Before government is ever mentioned, God starts with the family. Why does he start with the family? A family can't survive without a nation. A nation cannot survive without the family. So very literally, I want to know who's the pro-family candidate? Who's going to defend traditional marriage? Who's going to defend what we know as family as given to us in the Word of Almighty God? There is an all-out attack on the family today. They're redefining what marriage is. For thousands of years, you had civil unions, but you didn't call homosexual marriage marriage. It's been redefined, and the politician does not have the authority to do that because God is the one who defines marriage. And I want to know, how does this candidate stand for the family? Most of the ills of society, drugs, juvenile violence, teen pregnancy, would be solved in the home. Get government out of our business. Just let daddy be daddy and mama be mama and do what God has told them to do. Most of the problems when you go to the jail is because the dad is AWOL. He's absent. I want candidates that are going to fight for the family, going to protect the family. God created marriage to be between one man and one woman for life. Not this, oh, well, I'm tired of this woman. I'm going to go, that's not the way God did it. For life, I want pro-family leaders. Number two, vote for life. Exodus 20, verse 13 says, thou shalt not kill. It's not talking about war, and it's not talking about capital punishment for doing what's wrong. It's talking about you're not supposed to take the life of another individual. Do we do that in America? And is that something that we should screen all of our elected officials of doing it? Absolutely. It's called abortion. God planned the details of your creation before the foundation of the world. You were made in His image. Therefore, I want to know, hey, sir, are you pro-life? Or are you pro-death? You say, where do you get that? Isaiah 44, verse 24. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, he that formed thee from the womb. I am the God that maketh all things, that stretches forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. So I want to know, are you pro-life? For abortion takes innocent life. Constitution, here's what it says. All men are endowed by their Creator certain unalienable rights. Number one, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You should vote for the most pro-life candidate on the ballot without reservation. You say, why? Someone came to me several months ago and says, you know, you should probably tone it down a little bit on your abortion talk. It's going to hurt your, that's what they said, career in politics. And I said, that's the problem with government. They said, what? I was like, there should be no career in politics. They should get people who work real jobs with real hands that do real work, and they just go up there to do a job, and then they go home to their wives. I don't want a career. I'm trying to get rid of these career politicians. It didn't go over very well. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17 says, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Got pushed on this issue. Why are you so pro-life? Job of an elected official is to protect the vulnerable and those that can't defend themselves. There is no more vulnerable and there is no more defenseless than the child in the womb. So I don't care if it's popular and everybody says, oh, we're behind it, or if everybody says, nobody's behind it. God's behind it. And because God's behind it, I'm pro-life as pro-life can get. Here's what I don't understand. North Carolina, animal cruelty. Here's what the statute reads. Any person intentionally overdrive, overload, wound, injure, torment, kill, or deprive of unnecessary sustenance, any animal, that's dog and cats, any animal, every such offender shall of every such offense be guilty of a misdemeanor. If you look at it, if you do it maliciously, you want to intentionally, not accidentally, intentionally harm that animal, it's a felony. Here's what I cannot compute. We're all about saving the animals, which I'm in favor of. We just don't want to save the children in the womb. God help us. We should vote. This issue matters. It's going to affect the future generations. We should vote pro-life. Vote for the family. Vote for life. Number three, vote for freedom. Acts chapter 4, verse 18. They called them, commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Verse 20. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Government says you got to quiet it down about talking about Jesus. And they said, civil disobedience, we're not going to do it. We are one nation under God, already been there. When government pushes God out of the way and says, no, we're going to shut down your churches. No, you no longer have the freedom of religion. You no longer have the freedom of speech. We're going to censor everything. And if we don't like what you say online, we're going to scrub it. That is an over-controlling government. It is an invading government. And I'm not going to vote for any candidate that is for big government. I don't like government. Government's job is to be a watchdog that protects us, not to be a cow that we milk for our sustenance. No, I want government small and I want freedom large. That's what the Bible teaches. Christians are being forced to provide services that contradict their conscience because out of control judges elect people that vote for freedom and stand for it. Number four, some of you are hyperventilating on me. Number four, vote for stewardship. Jesus said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render unto God the things that are God's. That's what he says. What he means is this: pay your taxes. Every Christian should pay their taxes. Doesn't say you're supposed to give like you give in the offering, for God loves a cheerful giver. Doesn't say anything about being cheerful when you pay your taxes, but he says, pay your taxes. Not opposed to paying taxes. But I don't want to pay a lot of taxes. I don't want them to keep increasing my taxes. I want government officials to rule the government checkbook the way they do their own. They balance it. They're not just, oh, let's spend this and let's spend this, let's spend this. Do you realize in America, as of yesterday, our national debt was $35.32 trillion. Just to bring it closer to home, that means every household in this room owes $269,000 to pay off the debt. That means every one of you, you, every one of you owes $105,000 per person to pay off the national debt, not on top of all of the other spending they do every year. Because elected officials are not stewards. Hey, this is not your money. This is the people's money. God has put you there to balance and to run it appropriately. I vote for stewardship. And I might as well say it. I've already ticked you off. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. If any would not work, he should not eat. Period. Now, if you're not able to work, then fine. We can help out those people. But if you're just lazy, it's not the government's job to take care of you just because you're lazy and you won't work. Number 5. Man, is this an encouraging sermon today. Vote for security. The role of government is to protect its citizens. Listen, protect our borders from our enemies. Numbers 32, verse 17. We ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place. And our little ones shall dwell in the, next two words, fenced cities, walled cities because of the inhabitants of the land. I'm going to vote for the most security-minded law and order candidate on the ballot. Period. Who's going to keep us safe? Who's going to, and this has nothing to do with Republicans and Democrats because I think they both could do a better job. But who's going to protect our borders? Plain and simple. Yesterday, they said that there's 500,000 illegal terrorists trying to come in here that have already here, residing in America today, that would do us harm given the opportunity because we are not protecting our borders. Biblically, they said do it. Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Look at the last part of verse 6. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes but in vain. The best defense for a nation is God Almighty. If we want to protect our country, we need to be praying for our country and praying that God would protect our country. Remember Noah? Remember Noah? God came to Noah, told him what was going to happen down the road and how he needed to prepare for it. Hey, the way that we protect our country, because when countries turn their back on God, God says, fine, you don't need me, I won't protect you. And then enemies come in and they take over. Best way to protect our country is for Christians to humble themselves, pray, seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways. One more, and I might wrap this up. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. God gave a promise to Abraham 5,000 years ago that still applies today. I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. I'm voting in this security deal. I'm voting for the most pro-Israel candidate there is. Why? Because Scripture says if you want the hand of blessing upon your country, you be an ally and a friend of Israel. So I'm not ashamed of it. I don't play footsies with the people that are trying to wipe off the Irans of the world and the Hezbollahs of the world and the Hamas of the world. I'm not playing footsies with those people because God says, bless Israel and I will bless you. So therefore, I don't care if it's a dog catcher. If he hates Israel, not get my vote. Because that's what the Bible says. Daniel Webster. If you have a Webster dictionary, this is the founder of it. If we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering. But if we and our posterity, that's us, neglect its instruction and authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury us and our glory in profound obscurity. You know what he said? Stick by the book. Your kids need to stick by the book. Your grandkids need to stick by the book. And if they don't, we will not have a United States of America that we have known. Plain and simple. You know the song, My Country, 'Tis of Thee. They're going to put the words on the screen. My country, 'tis of thee. Sweet land of liberty. Of thee I sing. It was the national anthem for over 100 years. They called it America, but we know it as my country, 'tis of thee. If I were to put you on the spot and say, what's that first line mean? You know what it means? My country, 'tis of thee. Written by Samuel Francis, 1831. Seminary student. Mr. Francis, what did you mean by that first line? My country, 'tis of thee. Your country is of you. You're going to decide what the future of it is. Well, how are we going to decide? By the people you choose to rule over you. By whether you get involved or you say, no, politics is dirty. I don't want to go in and be a sanitizing effect. No, I just rather yell at the TV. It makes me feel so much better by yelling at the TV. Old Proverbs says this. Bad politicians are elected by good people who don't vote. So here's the invitation. Vote biblical values, period. Forget the party label. Vote biblical values. There are no perfect candidates on any ballot. As long as Jesus isn't there, there's no perfect candidates. So you got to choose the best of the two sinners. Which one most closely lines up to this book? And God help you if you don't vote.